Amen. It's good to be here at God's house. Good to see all of you here on this midweek service. I think we have four visitors tonight, two in the kids zone and two in the youth zone. So good to have a good turnout there. Good to see all of you folks here tonight. We will be in 2 Chronicles chapter 14. 2 Chronicles 14. Kids had a blast hunting up the eggs a while ago. I think they scattered over 3,000 eggs, the teens did, and they picked them up fast. Much faster than they laid them down. Them kids got at it. If you ever lose something in your house, just hire the youth zone, the kids zone to come over, the Youth Discovery Club, they'll scavenge through your house and find it. Pretty rapid pace at that. Marissa always comes up and asks when she brings some coins up for the youth offering, what are you going to speak on tonight? She always wants to know. Get prepared. She's ready. And I told her it was about Asa tonight. Asa's prayer. Asa was one of the kings that did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Had some great victories. About the last 2 years of his life, he developed, I don't know what it was, gout or dropsy or something like that. If that is even a thing. Dropsy, something. And he did not go to the Lord. He sought physicians first. It wasn't long after that he died. Did some great things. He actually, as you will read here tonight, he removed all kind of gods and pagan idolatry. He even removed his mother, Micah, from being the queen because she had erected her own god. And he got rid of his own mother. Said, hey, you can't. Now, he didn't disown her. None. He just said, you're no longer recognized as queen and because of the idol that she had raised up. But he didn't get rid of the high places. He got to a point and he just didn't go all the way through. He did a lot of great things, but he got to a point that he did not get rid of the high places in certain cities. And later on in his life, it really harmed and hurt his kingdom. All right, so 2 Chronicles 14. It's only 15 verses. I'll read it, but we're only going to spend most of our time in verse 11. This is where we're going to spend most of our time. 2 Chronicles 14. So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. In his days, the land was quiet 10 years. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. And he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places, and break down the images and cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God their fathers, and to do the law and the commandment. Verse 5, and he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. He built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest and had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. And we have sought him. We have given, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. And Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears, out of Judah 300,000, out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor. And there came out against them Zerah and the Ethiopian with a host of thousands and thousands, 300 chariots, and came unto Marshai, verse 10. And then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephthah and Marishah. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art God, let not man prevail against thee. Verse 12, so the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Giora. And the Ethiopians were overthrown, that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, and they carried away very much spoil. And they smote all the cities round about Giora, for the Lord, for the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they spoiled all the cities, for there were exceeding much spoil in them. For they smote also the tents of cattle, and carried away sheep and camels in abundance, and returned to Jerusalem. Brother Felipe, I don't see Miss Maria or Miss Resto. Miss Nancy, could you possibly go and sit with Brother and interpret, please? Way back there in the back, Brother Romo. I'm sorry about that. Thank you, sir. All right. I think that's underway. Okay, so we're going to talk about Asa's prayer tonight. In Asa's prayer, you can tell here in the very beginning, verse 11, that Asa cried unto the Lord. It was an earnest prayer. And we need to be certain that we have prayer that is earnest and toward God. The scriptures tell us, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's why it's very important that we spend time in prayer. That's why we as a church, we've adopted the time of prayer over here at 6 o'clock on Sunday evenings. Of course, that cannot be the whole mustard of our prayer life. It cannot be. That is just a small sample size, but it does teach us how to pray and where to pray and where to pray. Corporately, privately, and one for another. Seeking God's face, we're to pray for those in power, those in authority. And then at 9:30 or so, the ladies meet over here on Sunday morning, and the men meet over there and pray for 5-10 minutes, whatever they choose. Nobody opens or closed, just come and go as you please. But if you want some answers from God, different, you got to spend time in prayer. It's that simple. And Asa needed help. Asa was in a time where he'd come out of rest. I mean, they'd been a decade here of no problem, no difficulties, no heartaches. It started because, of course, he removed the things that were contrary to Scripture, contrary to God's way of life, contrary to biblical principles. And so if we're going to talk with God, spend time with God, we're going to have to come to a point and realize that it is our sins, it's our iniquities that stop up the ear of God, shorten his hand. And if we want answers, earnestly praying and seeking God's face, we're going to have to remove things out of our life that are not pleasing to God. You can spend a lot of time just talking to the ceiling. But if you've got things in your life that you know are not pleasing to God, dear friend, you're going to have to get those things right. You have to get right with God, own up to it and earnestly pray. And Asa cried unto the Lord, and I'm not one that's going to sit here and tell you that you've got to cry and spend time shedding tears. But it comes, prayer life comes with preparation. And Asa prepared himself. He got them things out of the way, as we read up there, and he came to God. He prepared for war. He didn't just have peace and just say, well, it's peace here, so I'm just going to let things be. We read there in verse number 8 and verse number 9, he had thousands that drew bows and swords and carried shields, and he was ready for battle. We have to be ready. We are in spiritual warfare from the time we wake up to the time we wake up. Even in your dreams, you're in spiritual warfare. Even in the midst of your dreams, while you're laying there trying to rest at peace, you know as well as I do, there's times that you have dreamt about stuff that you have, where in the world did that come from? What is that? And it's there. So it's a spiritual warfare around the clock. We're awake, we're asleep, we're awake. But we got to prepare for that. We've got to hide the Word of God in our hearts so we might not sin against God. We got to forgive one another so there's nothing between each other so that we can have an open door of forgiveness from God. So he earnestly sought God. And then you see it's very personal there. It says, and Asa cried unto the Lord, his God. His God. If we're not careful, dear friend, we are apt to be praying to the God of our pastor, the God of our grandma, the God of our deacons, the God of our, he's not personal to us. Well, pastor, how do you know he's not personal? Well, by the time, about the amount of time you spend with him. Is that simple? I know that's my wife back yonder because I've been with her for 30 years. We climb off in the same king-size bed together. Wake up. Still there. That's her. We talk. We spend time together. We go places together. It's a personal thing when it's, you know, God's just not, he's not somebody else's. See, Lot had that problem. It was Abraham's God. What much he is. Now, he had reaped the blessings from being around Abraham. That's a blessing to be around spiritual people, Brother Ray. I'll be honest with you. When the Spirit of God pours upon them, man, it just overflows. And you just sometimes get yourself a little splatter on you here and there. You know the places over at SeaWorld, they got it down there, it says wet zone. Get around some spiritual folks. It's a spiritual zone. Some that might splash off on you, rub off on you, but I'm going to be honest with you, on the outside, it ain't going to do you a bit of good. It's got to get down deep in there. It's got to be personal with you. This was personal. He was praying for his nation. He was praying for the kingdom. He was praying, God, we need you. Zerara, the Ethiopian, has risen up against us. We've been a decade or so without any war. Some of these men have never seen battle. We've got young folks in here that's never seen spiritual warfare. And they've got to know how to handle themselves. And he went and he prayed. And he didn't pray in a vague way. Saying, you know, Lord, it'd be nice, you know, if when all this is said and done, that we'd still be on your side. He said, Lord, help us. It was to the point. I mean, there was a problem. He says, you know, help us there in that verse. Because whether there's many, whether there's few, we need you. Sometimes if we're not careful, dear friend, the only time we call on God when it's something we think is serious. Well, he said that if we seek him first and ask for our bread and our clothing and our shelter, I think everybody here, I don't think anybody here is homeless. If you are homeless, please let it be known. We'll do our best to try to help you and find you a place to at least call home. I don't see anybody in here tail naked. Got clothes. I think all of you may have ate a little bit today, if not two or three meals. Well, did you ask God about that this morning? Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Because if we're not willing to pray for the simple and dearest, the smallest things, like the sparrow falling, he recognized, the hair on our head, on our body, he knows the number of. How in the world can we cry out to him in the middle of a financial crisis where we're about to go bankrupt? When we've never talked to him about a bowl of cereal. Well, preacher, God's not interested in catalogs. No, he's not. But he's interested in his children eat. Could care less if it's catalogs or oatmeal or grits. He wants you to be fed physically. And he said, ask him for it. Talk to him about the specific things in your life that you need, and build that camaraderie with the Lord. Cultivate a heart of prayer with the smaller things in life, so that when things are hard and difficult, you can fall on your knees and lift up your voice to heaven and know and have confidence that God, help us in this time of need. If you don't ever ask him for a little bitty things, different. Asa here was earnestly seeking the face of God, his God, asking for help. The scouts had done went out and come in, told him what the situation was. He said, God, whether it's small or big, don't matter, many or few, Lord, help us. And then he simply believed that God was going to move on his head. Listen to what he says there in the verse. For we rest on thee. We just rest on thee, Lord. We're believing. I'm going to be honest with you. There's been time in my life that I went to the Lord in prayer that it was just out of just sure tradition, the thing to do and what to do. Had no belief in my heart that he was even going to be able to handle it. Like I'm serving a God made of hands, an idol or something, some totem pole. The God, don't look at me all like that. Every one of you has prayed knowing, well, I don't even know why I prayed that. God ain't going to help me in this situation. And then God shows himself strong. Just get to the point where when you pray and seek God's face, I think some of it, Brother Carl, is this, that we don't want the answer that God's given. Sometimes it's not, yay, go ahead and go. Balaam prayed, and God done told him, no, you're not going. No, okay, go ahead, but you're going to say exactly what I tell you to go. You're going to say. Got to a point where a donkey was talking to him. That's an amazing thing. Isn't it amazing that an animal, a creature that is... doesn't have a soul, could see an angel. But here was a, quote, some man of God, some relationship with him, he couldn't even recognize. You know why? Because it was his way, what he wanted. He had quenched the spirit, and he could not see spiritually. But he heard that donkey speaking, and didn't get upset, Brother Jim. My life, if I went out there to my little farm out there and one of them goats stood up on the back there and said, hey, you bonehead. I think I'd run all the way up here to the thing and call my wife and say, hey, we got to go. Turn my resignation in. The animals are talking around here. It's like it was normal. He could carry on a conversation with it. It's strange whenever you can carry on a conversation with an animal but can't hear a God, creator of that animal, and listen to him. No, you're not going. Okay. Oh, Lord, I'll go. Just let me go. No. Lord, just let me. Okay, go. But you're not going to curse my people. Got himself in big trouble. Got himself in big, big trouble. I was listening to Colin Cowherd today. I don't know if any of y'all know who he is, some sports announcer. And he said something, and I don't pay a whole lot of close attention to him, I just don't, but he said something that was profound today. It's about this thing with Tony Romo. Tony Romo was signed by Mark Cuban with the Dallas Mavericks. But Steve Silva, the commissioner of the basketball NBA, would not let him play. And he said this. This is what Colin Cowherd said. He said, sometimes parents' jobs is to keep doors closed. Not to just close them. Never to open them up at all. That's what he said. Because this is what he said. He said, if Silver would have let Tony Romo play last night, even if it was for 10 seconds or 10 days, he said, what's to stop another team wanting to bring the Kardashians on for 10 minutes? You open up a door. There's no stopping. But with prayer, dear friend, I think there's sometimes that we just shut the door on ourselves and we go into our closet, but we don't open up to God. We want to look like we're prayer warriors, but we're not spending time with God. Open up. You know what he says in Malachi? He says about tithing and giving, I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing you cannot even receive. That's just about giving. What about prayer? He said, we rest on thee. And it was answered too. This prayer was answered. We rest on thee, God. Verses 12, 13, and 14, and 15. Insomuch the Bible says that the Ethiopians were destroyed and could not recover. Could not recover. It was answered right there. I'm going to ask you, dear friend, just to be careful about your prayer life. Sometimes if we're not listening, we think God has an answer. Or if we don't get what we want, we think God has an answer. Sometimes it's yes, son. Yes, daughter. No, you can't go that way. No. Sometimes it's son. Not yet. Not yet. Remember King David? He wanted to build the Lord a house. Nathan even agreed. Well, what an example that was to the men to treat. Nathan even agreed. Yeah, go ahead and do it. Then the Lord talked to Nathan that night. He went back and said, David, you're a man of war. David, you got blood on your hands. But go ahead and put things aside and prepare. Get things ready. You know what David could have done like most of us done? Grab his pacifier, run off in the corner, and well, if I can't do it, I ain't going to get involved. If I ain't the one in charge and building it, I ain't going to even help. I ain't painting nothing. Know what David did? Yes, Lord. Laid aside. Solomon built the house. Isn't that amazing? What an attitude for a king to take. You know he was king. He could have said, Nathan, we're building this house. No, he wouldn't have did that. Joab told him, we ain't fixing to count the Levites. Guess what they did? Counted the Levites. Guess what happened? God's hand moved against the nation of Israel. He was king. No, he wouldn't do that. Who's that girl over there? Well, that's the wife of Uriah. Bring her here. He knew. He knew, dear friend, when she got there, she was a married woman. Scripture says so. I was talking to my wife the other day about this, and made a lot of sense. Do you believe, just agree to yourself, don't say yes or no, but if a person drinks and drives on purpose, how else do they do it? They ain't accidentally went into the bar and bought them some liquor and went in there and got it and killed somebody. It's on purpose. It wasn't an accident, so nobody shoved them off in the car and started and said, go on down the road, buddy. And they kill somebody. They're charged, aren't they? Go to jail, don't they? If the woman's pregnant and they kill both of them, they're charged twice, aren't they? Then Christian, answer me this, pray tell. When you know something is wrong and you go ahead and choose to do it, and hurt everybody around you, why aren't you responsible? When a preacher chooses to pull his pants off and sleep with his secretary and destroys the church, why should he ever be allowed back in a pulpit? He chose to do that. It was on purpose, knowing he'd hurt Brother Jim, knowing he'd hurt the deacons, knowing he'd hurt them little kids. It was on purpose that he chose to do as such. Why do you choose to not to pray? To not have a relationship with God? Because you're hurting people around you. You're hurting those little youngins underneath you. You're hurting the Sunday school class. You're hurting the choir. You're hurting the bus route. You're hurting the mission. It's you purposely choosing not to have a relationship with God. Well, no, God don't want to talk to me. Whoa, the grace of God has appeared to all men. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. That's what he said. God wants to talk with you. He wants to talk with you. Have a motion to move into a business meeting, please.